Jackets Hockey is back. Pick the games you want with a partial season plan or enjoy the ultimate in benefits as a season ticket holder. Head to BlueJackets.com now to learn more.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Hello, this is Rob Aller, Columbus Dispatch sports columnist, and I'm here with the esteemed Bill Rabinowitz and the esteemier Joey Kaufman. And
this is a compliment, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't want to be esteemier.
You don't want to be esteemier. This is Buckeye Extra Football Edition. We will not call it the bye week. We've determined this. It was an off week for the Buckeyes, or a idle week. Joey Kaufman likes to call it idle, not off.
I would say the team was idle, but I would call it an off week.
Oh, well. Excuse me for living. Okay, so
just teaching you English.
Yep. All right. So I'm getting weird looks here, but you know, you've been giving us feedback, and we really appreciate it. Thanks for the attaboys and all the good stuff you're writing about most of us. Joe, we got to address your hat. You're in here with a New York Knicks hat, which is very gutsy. Please defend yourself.
I'm not really a fan of the Knicks or anything. This is just sort of my Hollywood studio director. I'm from New York. Look,
you're not from New York.
You're from Burbank, California.
Right, but I'm sort of a movie executive now.
I'm from New York. Going the Spike Lee thing. Okay.
He looks, I can assure you, nothing like Spike Lee.
You're a little taller.
We both have glasses, though.
You're right. Right. Hey. Okay, so Buckeyes. We had the presser today, Ryan Day and Jeff, we love you, Halfley. Great quote. Very informative, Jeff Halfley. Keep it up. And then we had some players. We had Cooper, right?
Jonathan Cooper.
Josh Myers.
And
Jordan Fuller.
Three quality human beings.
If you say so.
What, you take
issue
with
that? They aren't. I'm not saying they aren't. But you're saying they are. We never know these guys. We do not know these guys.
Well,
that's what I say.
Well, I just did a long story.
I don't care if you lived with them for a year. You still don't know. How long you been married?
20.
Do you really know your wife? No, you do not. So this is how it is. You never know everything about your spouse. I don't care if you've been married 50 years, 40 years.
This is
years,
a sports podcast.
No.
Do you think
this,
like
is, doctor, this is exactly doctor, what this is. Know. This is the 20% that people want non-Ohio State football. They've been very clear about that.
This is the 20% they want.
We're about 15%. So we've got about 5% more non-Buckeye stuff. But we'll save that for later.
Do you have any more marital advice that you're planning to
That wasn't really give? Advice. That was just fact. That was advice. Try to get to know your spouse.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck with it.
Mrs. Robo.
Good luck
with it. Is there something
it.
You are trying to get off your chest?
No.
Is this the form?
Yes. What I'm saying is we don't know the players. The minute you think you really know these guys, you are fooling yourself.
All I said was they were quality guys.
Right. I'm not saying they aren't, but you said it with conviction. And I don't think you can say it with conviction. All right.
You need to be convicted.
So we're moving on. Joey, what did you think of Ryan Day's comments today? What stood out? It's a Friday game. We should say that. Rare. First time since, what, 1950s? I think they played USC in the Coliseum. So they've only played one other regular season Friday night game, and that was like 50 years ago or some ridiculous thing.
Well, here's where Ryan Day impressed me. Yeah. Is he's been a head coach for half a full season, and he's already able to do media scrums without saying very much at all. He's like a fifth-year pro without saying anything revealing, without wading in and giving an opinion, without giving a headline. He was asked about the Friday night games. He said they'll play wherever they tell him to play on the schedule. So he seems like a pro in that regard.
He has. He's been dialing up Chip Kelly, his buddy Chip Kelly and Urban on this one. Like, how do you say a lot without saying anything?
I think he talked for 28 minutes today, and I don't think there was anything that's going to be a headline on Deadspin tomorrow.
Exactly. He's not a bulletin board guy, that's for sure. Well, that's your takeaway, which is pretty accurate, I would say. Bill, what was your takeaway from today's scrum?
Well, I found him being a quality guy very
important. Here we go. See?
I asked him about, you know, what did this off week give you an actual chance to do? I mean, how did that benefit you? And he said that players were given three things that they've done well and three things they need to improve. They met with both they and their position coaches. I thought that was somewhat interesting that they're not buying all the hype. I mean, they got to hear for an entire week how great they've played, and they generally have. But when you dig a little deeper, they say that there are a lot of flaws that have been covered up by their success and that they have to improve a lot if they're going to get where they want to go. So
yeah, that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. I mean, look,
Ryan Day is also saying every game. You notice this? Speaking, we're not picking on Ryan Day, but after like the first opponent, we're stepping it up against a real opponent this week. He's been saying now you'd think Northwestern is Alabama. From the way he said today, oh, we're facing an incredible defense, just incredible defense.
He didn't say a whole lot about the offense. And that's, Northwestern's defense has been relatively good considering how bad their offense has been. And their offense has been putrid. They got Hunter Johnson, the transfer from Clemson, they thought.
Well, they got QB issues.
Yeah. I mean, on paper, Hunter Johnson is their Justin Fields. And he hasn't been anything even close. I mean, he's not even really held the job. So
has he been injured? Didn't he get a little nicked up?
He did. Yeah, he didn't start the last game.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, but he hasn't played well when he was healthy, and so their offense is just has been an abomination. So, yeah, their defense has been okay, but I mean they're 1-4. I mean, this is a team Ohio State beat in the Big Ten championship game last year, and they.
This game may not be over by halftime like recent games, but it will be over by the end of the third. And being a night game, we're pretty happy about that.
They can kind of muck it up a little bit as well. When they played Wisconsin, that became kind of a little bit of a dogfight. Jonathan Taylor had to work a lot for the carries that he got.
I think that's a bad matchup, though, those two games, because Wisconsin, they just pound it mostly, and that's what Northwestern's defense stops. It's just stop the run, beat
tough. They're going to let that grass grow. They're not going to mow it all week.
Right.
It's going to be like British Open rough.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. There'll be gorse out there. So
here's one thing that Ryan Day I found interesting was he was asked a question about
right earlier. You said you didn't find anything interesting. He said so. You've reconsidered and now you find something.
That was 90% accurate.
Okay.
Part of it was a stall tactic to let kind of my memory recall what was said, but he did say one interesting thing about. When he was at New Hampshire, Chip Kelly would go visit with Randy Walker when Randy Walker was at Northwestern, and Kevin Wilson was Northwestern's offensive coordinator at that time. And there was a period in the early 2000s where Northwestern ran this really innovative spread offense.
I remember it well.
And now they're not innovative on offense. Nobody, I don't think college coaches across the country are going to visit Northwestern. They basically kind of run an antiquated offense.
The ship has sailed.
It's really kind of a shame because they've played so well on defense under Pat Fitzgerald, and he's a good motivating coach. They win a lot of close games, which maybe there's some luck involved, but maybe they kind of figured things out in close ball games. If they had an offense which could look anything like they were in 2000, 2001, 2002, they would have more fighting chance in the Big Ten.
But they can't because they were ahead of the curve then.
You could hire a new offensive coordinator.
Which teams do, right? The teams, why do teams run the triple option? They always say run the triple option if you don't have the talent, if you can't match up, do something scheme-wise. Well, Northwestern did that in 2000s. They probably still didn't have quite the talent. And Randy Walker, really good coach, kind of did that, and then everyone caught up, and so they'd have to go to, maybe Northwestern should try the triple option, Bill. What do you think?
I think that's just a brilliant suggestion. I think Pat Fitzgerald was a linebacker, and their offense looks like he was coached by a linebacker. he was a great linebacker, by the way.
Yeah, he was. He was really good. Yeah. He played in the NFL, too, a little bit, didn't he?
I'm not even sure about that.
I think he played like a year.
Yeah.
Everyone played in the NFL. All right, we're going to can we take a break here for a sponsor? The people that really matter are sponsors. They're the ones that pay the freight, and they're clamoring for a break from us. So we'll be right back after this word from our wonderful sponsors. When Rosati Windows arrives at an in-home consultation, we always tell our customer that a house can't talk to you, but it typically will give you signs that something isn't right. A home's windows are particularly communicative. Although they don't last forever, a high-quality, well-maintained window could last for many, many years. One, such as a Rosati window. However, at some point, they may not be at their best, so listen carefully to what they are telling you, and you will know that it's time to have them replaced. Are there drafts? Are they damaged or warped? Do they stick when you close or open them? If you answer yes to any of these, it may be time to call Rosati Windows for an at-home consultation. Learn more at rosatiwindows.com. Okay, we're back with the Buckeye Extra Football Edition. Northwestern is on the docket this Friday night. Joey, what do you have to say about anything at this point?
Well, you kind of...
Quite a lead-in.
You kind of glossed over the fact that... Excuse me,
Oh, you got to hit the cough button. Oh, yo, let me just say for the record that both Bill and Joey have they're gagging, they're hacking, and they brought their food in here. And we've already done this show where it's the stinky food
plant
guy.
Cafe,
Bill brings the stinky food onto the plane. It just drives me crazy.
This is not a plane. This is a podcasting studio.
Now they're bringing it into the cockpit. Podfather, Patrick. You're running this show, sort of. I'm not sure anyone runs this show, but
it's a reflection on you.
So I just want the listeners to know that there is bad smelling food here. But Joey, go ahead.
Delicious food, though.
Delicious.
As bad as Northwestern's offense has been, and you point out that they ran the spread at a time when not a lot of teams were running the spread.
Correct.
They've also had the same offensive coordinator for 10 years.
Yeah, well, you know, so that's an issue.
Maybe they could do what D'Antonio, you know, that whole thing.
Just do the merry-go-round and kind of shuffle everybody. D'Antonio didn't fire anybody on staff. He just kind of moved them all around.
Yeah, but look how well it's worked for Michigan this year.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Well, maybe that's because of the person they hired rather than the idea.
Well, because you know,
Jim Harbaugh never met with Josh Gattis in person. He just called him up on the phone and talked to him for 20 minutes and then offered him the job. It wasn't like they met and had a chalk talk.
maybe it's better to have the bad coach you know versus the bad coach you don't know. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Or have your tight ends coach the quarterbacks and have the wide receivers coach the running backs.
All right, this is where we refocus the show. And what did Jeff Hafley have anything to say that impressed you today? I asked him about Justin Fields. What's it like to go against Justin Fields in practice? He's very impressed by Justin Fields because he holds the ball long enough to make the defense and the secondary have to really work. So.
Which is rare because you get a lot of quarterbacks now because of RPO starting high school where you're basically required to read one receiver and you read the linebacker. And if the receiver is running his route and the linebacker stays with the receiver, quarterback tucks it. It's a lot of one-read stuff. And Halfley's saying basically that a lot of quarterbacks are trained in that regard where you're only going to make one read and then run. And Fields is very good about kind of cycling through his reads and keeping the play alive with his feet and always looking to make a play. And that's hard for a secondary because you have to cover receivers for a very long time. After 5 seconds, the play's not dead.
And yeah, and here's where we're going to transition here. We talked about this off the air earlier. Justin Fields is not a game manager.
Well, he has been.
He has been, but I'm saying is he can make plays. No, not just a game manager. Down where he came from, Georgia. Interesting discussion here and debate. Jake Brohm, the Georgia quarterback, who got the better end of that deal at this particular moment? Wouldn't you say that the Buckeyes would rather have maybe Justin Fields than Brohm?
Well, I mean...
Not that they were going to get Brohm.
If you watch the...
Who would Georgia rather have?
South Carolina game. There were times during that game, I watched some of it, that it'd been nice to have Justin Fields if you're Georgia.
Absolutely.
Because Jake Fromm is somewhat limited. Look, he's a good quarterback. I mean, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. He's a very good quarterback. Is he special in the way that a Tua is and some of those guys that can lead you to where you know, championship? You know, maybe with a great supporting cast. I'm not sure they have a great supporting cast. I think they're very good.
Mm-hmm.
That, by the way, was one of the worst coach games I've ever seen in my life. The game, the clock management at the end was just, you start throwing stuff at the TV. You can't believe how stupid these guys.
Both sides. Will Muschamp.
Kicking you a 58-yard field goal.
57-yard field goal attempt on 4th and 3 when you could.
Then Georgia called timeout to bail out South Carolina when the play clock was going to run out. It was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane. So it was one of those games neither team deserved to win. I think South Carolina did because they really did outplay them for the most part. But that was an abomination. But, to get back to your question, I have no doubt that a lot of Georgia fans in the stands that on Saturday were thinking, oh, it'd be nice to have Justin Fields out there right
mm-hmm.
now. But,
mm-hmm.
again, they hadn't seen the Justin Fields that Ohio State fans have seen. He played, you know, he was basically a Tate Martell for them last year.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't like it was a real quarterback competition. I mean, Jake Fromm was the guy, and Justin Fields was the young guy who was going to try to challenge him and didn't quite win the job.
And what we don't know is what coaching has done for Justin Fields.
Right.
We think we have a pretty good idea, Ryan Day really being a really good quarterbacks coach, and Mike Yurcich looks pretty good also. You don't know what he was getting at Georgia. Maybe they're not up to snuff. I don't want to, you know, disparage him, but I think I just did. So, you know, he's a year older. So, you know, these comparisons are always like, what if? It's the whole, you know, Dwayne Haskins should have been starting a year earlier. Well, who knows if he was ready to start at that point. Now, that arm was ready to start. You know,
there's a lot more to it than your arm.
Right, so just experience.
People always discount the internal locker room dynamic of doing that because Jake Fromm last year was battling Justin Fields for the starting job. It was probably kind of a faux competition. Fromm was always going to win that job over Fields. He had just led Georgia within seconds of a national championship.
Right.
He was a true freshman who had come in and nearly pulled off that feat, which hadn't been done since Jamal Holloway at Oklahoma in the 80s. That was the only true freshman ever led a team to a national title. Fromm nearly didn't. And you're going to then pull that guy for a blue chip recruit?
Guess what, though? There's precedent for it happening right here. Todd Beckman led Ohio State to the national championship game. They did not win it against LSU. And then the next year was benched in favor of
Terrell Pryor.
So it happens, and they lost the room, too. I think that one of the reasons you could say that the Buckeyes weren't very good that year, comparatively speaking, were because the seniors were very upset that Beckman got benched for for this freshman. It was not a good situation. So I'm sure that Kirby Smart, that played in, too. What does this do to the room? What's this do to the team if we throw this freshman in over a guy that took us within seconds of the national title?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right, because I think people always look at that decision on the surface. If this is a theoretical decision where we can make without human emotions being involved, then that's always the case. People are going to have their feelings.
Let me rewind here. Did you say I was 100% right?
Yeah, I thought I'd throw you a bone.
Yeah.
It was a good point. I agree.
And Bill had a little, I think he got lost in there. Bill, your comment was?
First time for everything.
Oh, okay. Yuck.
But it was like a similar situation. You know, you alluded to the Haskins. He wasn't going to start over JT Barrett. It wasn't going to happen in 2017. JT Barrett had proven his leadership look what he had done as a quarterback. Was he limited? Well, yeah, he was limited. But he was also pretty successful. And to think that Urban Meyer is going to just say, okay, this guy's got a better arm, we're going to JT.
Urban Meyer is not, and we've written this, Urban Meyer is not Nick Saban, who maybe would have done it, did it in a title game the second half.
Right.
I mean, you still hear this. It's funny. A guy finishes, right, and then all the cracks in the foundation start to happen with Urban Meyer, who's, we've said the third winningest coach ever, three national titles. But if there was a Achilles heel, maybe overly loyal. If there's such a thing as being too loyal, maybe Urban Meyer was too loyal both to his players and his coaches.
Yeah, I don't think any coach would have had Haskins play over Barrett in 2017.
Well,
I don't think that would have
happened. The real dilemma with that would have been the Big 12 title game, or the Big 10 title game at the end of the year where JT gets hurt against Michigan. Is that the window of opportunity to slide a guy in where you can then use?
And Barrett had a terrible championship game. How many didn't he have? Did he have two picks?
Well, he's playing on one leg.
Well, okay, I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying the fact is he didn't have a very good game.
But
they struggled against, was that Wisconsin or Northwest?
Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was like they needed to blow Wisconsin out and didn't.
But if you think those two quarterbacks are close, wouldn't you start the guy with two legs?
Yeah, instead of Hopalong.
Right.
Oh my.
R.I.P.
That's just
Hopalong Cassidy.
Oh wow.
I disavow myself from that comment.
Well, skip along. All right, we've got a another ad break here from
well-timed.
Our sponsor. What was that?
Well-timed.
We'll be back. We think we'll be back unless the
two plug, of us might be back.
The plug gets pulled before then. Stay tuned.
Hey, football fans, leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for a sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score, because we've got the food covered. With hand-battered, cooked-to-order, always fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, craveable cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. One love.
And we're back. Three of us dodged a bullet again. So let's look at the rankings. Where do you think, where Ohio State stands? They are now fourth in the AP. Of course, these rankings essentially mean nothing.
As long as you're four and not five, when it matters.
Yeah. And
I don't agree with that.
You don't?
I think you're 100% wrong.
Oh, that's high.
Well, there's always a first time.
I mean, I think they have some value in terms of kind of setting the agenda for how the selection committee will eventually come to view these teams. They're human beings that are going to meet in November and rank the teams in for the first 7 weeks of the season. They've had Alabama and Clemson number one, number two on their television screens the whole
time. So you're talking psychological.
Ohio State is 3, 4, 5. It has to.
Yeah, well, I would agree with. I would agree from that standpoint. I'm just saying this poll
in
itself,
a practical element.
Right.
Yes,
right.
But I wouldn't be dismissive as they don't matter. Why are you talking about?
Well, I love the poll. I think the poll creates controversy. It's something to talk about. That's why. That's what college football is. It thrives on controversy on who should be in, who should be out. You know, that would be one tiny negative of an 8-team playoff. Is
the AP poll also determines the national champion?
Yeah, but nobody. Yeah, you're right.
Theoretically, all the voters could go rogue, and they could have picked UCF a couple years ago.
Yeah, they could have.
Would have been a legitimate claim.
Anyhow, one is Alabama. Two is
LSU.
LSU. Which leapt up after defeating Florida. Number three, Clemson.
Clemson reminds me of the 2015 Ohio State team. I think I've said that before. They're kind of living on reputation a little bit. And
we'll see.
Are they good? Yeah, they're very good. I mean, Lawrence is a great quarterback. They're a good team.
I do think they become a better team with the month off to prepare. I think they're a bowl team. That's what I would say about.
Well, here's they're going to have to because the ACC is just horrible. Horrible. Who's the second best team in the ACC?
Yeah, that's not good.
You can't even name
Miami.
No. Wake Forest probably.
Wake Forest lost.
Yeah. I think it might be Miami.
Oh,
still.
I mean, seriously. I mean,
well,
that
it's bad.
Is
it's bad.
Dreadful.
It's very awful. Bad. But so they have to go undefeated. I think.
And they're going to go to the championship, the semifinal, playoff semifinal, assuming that they don't slip up. And if they do slip up, I think they're screwed because their strength of schedule will be so dreadful. But let's say they get there. They haven't played anybody. That's going to be a real challenge for Clemson, not having been tested all year in a serious way.
No, I agree. Which brings up bringing this back to the Buckeyes. I was, again, looking at the schedule, and I thought, you know, Wisconsin comes to the Horseshoe in 2 weeks, and that's going to be shock the system for both teams. There's a little bit of shock the system there because Wisconsin's probably best opponent was Michigan. Mm-hmm. And Ohio State's was Michigan State. I mean, you could say UC, but at that point, UC was not impressive. Michigan State, the eyeball test, Michigan State was better than UC in that, you know, in against Ohio State. They have played no one. Neither team will have played, quote, no one. And then they're going to come against each other and see what real talent is. And who adjusts to that better? Again, we don't want to go too far down this road. We've got more podcasts coming. But I just find it intriguing that for both teams, that'll be the first, not even a test, that'll be the first real gut test.
No question. And the styles are so different. I mean, Wisconsin's going to come in, just try to grind you, and just pound you. Ohio State's had a lot of success against Wisconsin. Obviously, everyone remembers the 59-0 mm-hmm. game. But they've generally done pretty well against Wisconsin. I think the last time they lost was that 2010? Is that right?
Is that dancing on the...
That was the kickoff return to start the game or whatever, right? In Madison? When's the last time they won in Columbus?
Oh, I couldn't... I don't... Well, I know they danced on the Block O, so I don't remember what year that was. They all run together. But I will say, yes, you're right. They haven't beaten them, but, you know, a Braxton Miller... You know,
right.
Hail Mary
Absolutely.
Play, Terrell Pryor up
that was
in
2011.
Madison, right, up there. So the... Of recent vintage, yes, they've handled their business. But again, so Oklahoma, back to the poll. Oklahoma's fifth. So here's how it plays out. If Alabama wins out, they're in. Well, LSU wins out, they're in.
Well,
they play each other. So one of those two is out.
Right.
One of those two is out. Three is Clemson. If Clemson wins out, they're in.
Of course.
So if Ohio State wins out, they're in. So then that leaves Oklahoma wins out, they're in. Where it gets interesting is, you know, if Texas somehow can beat Oklahoma, if there's a rematch. You know, Texas has lost twice. What are they ranked, like 10th? Right mm-hmm. now, I think they're 10th. And their two losses are to LSU and Oklahoma. Close games.
Yeah, but it's two losses. Nobody else has one.
Oh, I'm not saying Texas is going to make it in, but Texas is probably the best. It's one of the best. When you look at two lost teams, they're one of the better ones. I'm just saying that's still going to be a test come Oklahoma if that's their Big 12 title game. versus Ohio State may have a. Again, we're just kind of predicting here, but Joey, don't you think it would be an Ohio State Wisconsin rematch at this moment? If you had to say,
sleeping on the Minnesota Gophers, they're undefeated, Big Ten title.
I'm not sleeping on them. They're ranked now. I think they're 20th.
PJ Flex, your guy.
Yeah, he's my guy. All right.
Row the boat.
All right.
I do have an answer to your Wisconsin question, though. The last time they won in Columbus. Okay. I was doing some research here live during the show.
Okay.
04. So it's been a while since they've won in Columbus.
Yeah.
And the only time they've won in that span was in 2010.
Yeah, that was the dance. That was the dance move. So you see a rematch coming, Ohio State, Wisconsin?
Okay. Yeah, Wisconsin's better than Minnesota. They'll win that. I think Minnesota's kind of gotten by on some beating some, a lot of empty calories there, a lot of so-so teams.
And Michigan, what to make of Michigan? They looked, they were doing what they should have done against Illinois. We're up, I don't even
28-0.
28-0.
25 straight points by Illinois.
Wow.
20, and Illinois is
abysmal.
They're playing a backup quarterback.
Abysmal.
Abysmal. I mean,
they're not Rutgers, but they're close.
So to me, the 25 points they gave up, consecutive points they gave up to Illinois, is much more indicative of where the Wolverines are right now than the 42 they scored. I mean, you can't let Illinois back in the game. I mean, that's just crazy. And all the turnovers and the sloppiness. I mean, I'm not giving up on Michigan as being a bona fide opponent for Ohio State. I mean, of course it will be. But you look at them now and you think, Ohio State would annihilate these guys if they played now.
Right.
If they played the way they have. I mean, they've got talent. They've got some players. But I'm not convinced Shea Patterson is anything more than just maybe a slightly above average quarterback. I mean, I just don't see it.
Yeah, he's regressed this year. Penn State, to me, is the team in the East that is the team that could give Ohio State a real run for their money. They're the one team that probably has recruited at least close to the level of Ohio State has. So they have athletes to come up and maybe give Ohio State a run for its money. The problem is they haven't really played and beaten great teams under James Franklin outside of Happy Valley. Iowa was the first time they've beaten a ranked team on the road in his tenure.
And that was an ugly game.
They're 3 and 12 with Franklin against Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. All three of those wins have been in State College. So I like them maybe against Ohio State in terms of creating a competitive game on a neutral field, but talking about coming into Columbus, that's another animal.
Yeah, I don't see it. I see the toughest game. I didn't think this initially, but I do think Wisconsin. Duh.
Well, you're going to play them twice. I mean, I agree with Joey that Wisconsin's the best team in the West. I mean, Minnesota, I respect what they've done, but I mean, the empty calories is a pretty good description of who they've beaten. And Wisconsin is a really good team. I just think that Ohio State matches up well against Wisconsin in terms of the athletes they have. Now, I think that Wisconsin, they've been hamstrung in the past against Ohio State. They haven't had receivers who could really do any damage. I think Cephas is a really good receiver. And so I think that they can. I think that Cohn is better than certainly than Hornibrook and some of the caretaker quarterbacks they've always had. I think he's showed a little more last week. But, I mean, Fields? No.
Yeah, if you're Ohio State, I think the biggest concern I would have with the Badgers is they're deep. You know, again, look at their schedule. They haven't played a lot of teams, but four shutouts.
Right.
And it's hard to shut anyone out, much less four times. And I think their run defense is stout. And Ohio State it starts with the run. I was amazed. I was looking at their rush numbers, Ohio State's rush numbers, and Dobbins leads the nation. He's tied 174. He has the either most or second most total yards in the nation, and his per game is first or second.
He's not playing in most of the second half.
Right. I know.
He's second nationally in rushing yards, 126 rushing yards.
I guess, that stuns me a little bit because as much as I think Dobbins is a good runner, I would not put him in the class of the Eddie Georges and the Zeke Elliotts at this point, and yet his numbers are really good. So my point is Wisconsin has a good run defense, so that's a matchup I look forward to watching.
And Taylor, I'm assuming, is number one, right?
Yeah.
No, Taylor's behind Dobbins.
Amazing.
Oh.
He has one fewer rushing yard. Jonathan Taylor has 825 yards, and J.K. has 826. Number one is Chuba or Chuba Hubbard. I don't know. I don't have a pronunciation
Chuba
guy in
Hubba?
Front of me.
What?
Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he's, I don't know, he's up Chuba? There, right? Is he over 900?
He's over 1,000. 1,094.
I'll tell you what, though.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it does say how much the run game's been de-emphasized if those are the numbers that lead the country. Because you used to see back 20 years ago, those guys would be averaging 175 yards a game.
Yeah.
Top runners.
Yeah. But Ohio State's got it going. You know, I think it's true when Day talks about they want to be a power spread team. You know, Urban talked about that too. But it really, this whole idea of, here's another interesting tidbit from today before we end. Day was asked about the H-back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said, well, Paris Campbell is not a really fair comparison to
KJ Hill.
And so they brought in an extra tight end.
Yep.
It's sort of that 12, what they call it, the 12th man.
The two means two tight ends.
Yeah, so they've got two tight ends, and that's helped the running game. And so I will admit that I thought that this would be more of a Big 12 offense a little bit with Ryan Day calling the shots, but it's actually more to little older school Big 10 power football, and it's been very effective. All right, that's it for... you guys have nothing, no comeback for that? No, you're just stunned by the brilliance.
How can we add to brilliance?
Okay.
You were drawing it up on a chalkboard just here in the studio. You kind of had all the alignment going. It was nice.
I was 99% correct there. All right, so come on back. Thanks for joining us on Buckeye Extra Football Edition. The Buckeye Extra podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company. And Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Game day tastes better with Raising Cane's tailgates full of 24-hour marinated, hand-battered chicken fingers.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.